If you have a Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. We were at Rachel's graduation last Sunday down in Branson, Missouri, and in that area. And we went to the baccalaureate service, which is a Christian graduation service. And then we went later that day to the commencement service. And as I worked on this message this week, I felt a little bit like this is kind of a commencement address. So, Rachel, as you go off into the world, and Matthew and Cassie, and this is for you, but then this isn't just for you. This is a commencement address for all of us. This is for all of us. Now, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If we begin in verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." Now that's a reference to the Greek Olympic Games, that there were various wreaths that you would receive for certain competitions. Often it would be an olive branch that would just be a circlet that would be placed on the head. But it was the equivalent of the Olympic gold medal, you might say. He says, they do it. That's the people of the world, to receive a perishable wreath. But we an imperishable. We Christians. "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Well, with my son running track this year, I've had an opportunity. Yeah, woo! And it's over now, isn't it? But I've had an opportunity to be at many a track meet. And by the way, somehow the standard rule is that whenever there's a track meet, there has to be at least a 20 mile an hour wind. Wow, what a year. But had an opportunity to see a lot of good races and cheer my son on. But as we were in Bedford last week, I was watching a relay race. You know, they fire the gun, the guy takes off with the baton. This message is called Passing the Baton. And he hands it to the next runner who runs and hands it to the next who runs and hands it to the next. And he gives his best finish to try to finish out. But I was watching this one team, I think it was Trainer. And boy, just every runner, they were just pulling ahead. You know, just that first lap around, that first 400, they were just ahead. They passed it, and they brought the lead up a little more. They passed it, they brought the lead a little more, and they passed it, though the final person just really ran quite ahead of the group. But as I'm watching, it's like there's a little analogy that's playing in my mind, in my heart. And I saw in my mind how many of you go to a track meet and think this way? The apostles. Let's back it up. Jesus takes off with the baton. He has come to bring the kingdom of God on earth. Then He dies. Then He rises. Then He pours out His Spirit upon the church. And now the apostles take the baton. And they begin to run. They run the race. And they passed it on to other believers. And I thought of the martyrs. Passed it on. And I see in my mind right now a bloody baton. Isn't that encouraging? But that baton has been passed to each of us by the blood of the martyrs. Tradition tells us that all the apostles except John died a martyr's death. The church has moved forward in the blood of the martyrs. It's still moving forward in the blood of the martyrs. All you have to do is check the news this week. Where was it? They burned a church. I think it was Egypt. Burned a church, killed 12 Christians, wounded 300. Just this week, radical Muslims, the blood of martyrs. They're still running. But you know what? They're passing the baton. They're still in the race. They're not giving up the race. And today, not only to our graduates, but to all of us, a baton has been passed. You know, it's almost like that freedom that we now enjoy as a nation was built on the backs of the blood of our soldiers, our militaries. If you read the Clarinda Herald Journal, the editor writes a column in there, and at the end of every column he says, if you can read this, thank a teacher. If you can read it in English, thank a soldier. We don't want to take for granted what our soldiers do and have done to promote and to protect freedom in the United States. And we dare not underestimate that baton that's been passed to us. And maybe today, graduates, that's symbolized in that Bible given to you. That baton you pass has come through martyrs' blood. People have paid the ultimate price to pass the faith of Christ onto us. Praise the Lord. So he talks about running a race. And of course, the word race is the word stadia there, which is about a more or less a 400-meter race in those ancient Greek games. And the people hearing Paul's words would be very familiar with those Olympic games and the races. And so, but what is it? What is the race which every Christian runs? What is the race that every Christian runs? This race is the struggle of every believer to overcome sin, to resist the temptations of the world, to live pleasing to the Father, to trust Christ for salvation by faith, and to finish our life's race as the victors we are called to become. Well, today's verses teach us this. First, run to win the prize. Run to win the prize. Verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? Now, I think it's the top six that bring points at a track meet. But only one's going to be in that first place position. So we are to run in such a way to win the prize. Run to win the prize. Now, there's a certain athletic determination here to win. If you've ever competed, probably most of us have been involved in some sport or another. We've been confronted what it takes to be an athlete, what it takes to win. What's the miler? John Fulmer? Johnny Fuller from Glenwood? Glenwood. He's from Glenwood. You ought to see Johnny Fuller run. He got a full ride scholarship to Notre Dame. He laps the runners. No one comes close. He's poetry in motion to see him run. Head held high. Some of you remember Josh Falk for Clarinda. Or Danny Owens. If Johnny Fulmer is poetry in motion, is Danny here today? Danny looks like a train wreck coming down the track. But I tell you what, he gets the job done. He gets the job done. And am I right? But run to win. You know, that athletic determination it takes to win. It's that competitive spirit. You know, that competitive spirit. The best athletes are driven to win. You know, for me, you know, one reason I wasn't the best athlete, I was along for the social ride and the fun. I remember a guy in my high school, Jim Livesey. Jim, I remember he ran the 400 meter. Then we called it the 440. You know what I mean, guys? The 440 yards. Now it's 400 meters. But I've never seen anyone that would run like Jim. Just everything in him, determined. And he'd round the corner in that last 100 meters. He'd come like a bull, snorting, sweating, sweat flying off it. Every ounce of determination. You could not dig any deeper into your heart than Jim could. Wow. And of course, he was the captain of the football team. He was the quarterback. He was the just driven athlete. A driven athlete. And we need to bring into our Christianity that kind of drive and determination. The Apostle Paul revealed some of his drive there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, when he said, I once thought all these things were so very important. All the things of this life, you know. You know, we could fill in the blank, advancement of career, the accumulation of goods and position. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ. You hear that determination in there? That athletic spirit? He's running to win the prize. Oh, what's the prize? The prize is the favor of God. It's the forgiveness of God. It's the promise of eternal life. I run to win the prize. I'm not given it, he says, any half-hearted effort. But I am driven. I'm driven to know Him. And what I see in those games, I want to bring that into my faith walk. And I want to run to win the prize. Are you driven like that? Are you driven like that? Would you give your very life for the things of Christ? Are you driven like that? Is everything else worthless compared to Him? We'll talk about the athlete's sacrifice in just a moment. The athlete sacrifices the good for the best. Okay, so run to win the prize. Secondly, run for the Lord. In verse 25, it says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it, the athletes, to receive a perishable wreath. We may translate that to receive a gold medal or to medal in their event or to get a scholarship. They do it for those things, but we do it to gain that imperishable wreath. That prize, that reward that'll never fade. Yeah, I imagine if you're a Greek athlete and they give you this olive branch wreath and they place it on your head, you get all the honors. Do they have a little nail at home they hang it on? And what does it look like after a year? 2 years? Maybe just the stem is left and all the leaves are gone. You know what? That's a description of all these other things we run after. Oh, we want that car. We get that car. We shine it. And you know what happens? A deer steps out in front of you. Or one day you come out and you're looking at that gleaming machine. You go, what's that? A little rust at the bottom of the door. Oh, man. Those mags, just a little tarnished. Oh, man. So, but run for the Lord. See, they do it for the perishable wreath. And I'll say it this way. They do it for the honor and the recognition of men. They compete to be praised by men. But if you and I are going to run the race and win this race of faith, we got to do it for the Lord. That's the imperishable wreath. We run for the Lord. We're not here for the approval of people. Paul the Apostle said, If I did things for the approval of people, I would not be a servant of God. What would he be a servant of? Men. Men who die. Men who are sinful. Men who fall short of the glory of God. And by the way, all those people, I remember back in high school, all the people we're trying to please, well, none of them are around us now, are they? And where did they go? And did we live for what was true and right, or did we live for what was vain and empty? So we run not for men. We run for Him. You know, the key to winning, I am convinced, must be more than men's praises, because that only goes so far, only takes us so far. But the best motivation to sustain you over a lifetime must come not from merely obedience to command, following the commands of Jesus, but by cultivating and maintaining a deep and personal walk with God. I want to say something. I think this is probably, in my heart, I've sensed this week, this is the most important thing I want to say to you. So listen. If you want to run this run of faith and still be following Jesus 5 years from now, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, if Christianity is just trying to be good, going to church, going through the Bible and prayer motions, it will not be enough. It will not be enough. Just even commitment to obey the commands, it will not be enough. I am convinced, I'm giving you my opinion here, that if you are going to run this race and be strong in the Lord all the days of your life, you must learn to love God. Let Him be your treasure. Let Him be the delight of your heart. You want to reach down and you want to find some motivation? That's it. That's it. Oh, what it is to enter in to the joy of the Lord, of knowing God, walking with Him, loving Him. What is the greatest command? To love God with all you are. That's the greatest command. That's where you're going to find your strength. Because let me promise you this. You will have times of defeat in your life. You'll have times of failure. We hope there isn't moral failure. But we're going to fall upon occasion. We will sin. We will fall short of the mark. We will be very disappointed in ourselves. We will grieve the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to find our way back, going to have to be the goodness of God. Because Romans 2 says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not enough to know we should have done better, but there has to be a revelation of the goodness and the grace and the love of God, the delight of our heart in Him. If we're going to find the strength to get back up off our face and follow God. You want to be strong? You want to run this race right to the end? Love God. Learn to love God. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and I was talking about, and we were both older now. And we were talking about the benefits of getting older. There are plenty. The only negatives is your body and your mind. But I think my whole Christian life is I've been throwing off the shackles of religious legalism. Just doing things out of obligation. Doing things I thought I was supposed to do. And not doing them because I love God, but doing it out of guilt. And I don't want to tell you that I've arrived, because I'm still like Paul. I want to know Him. I'm still pressing on. I'm throwing away these weights and whatever. I'm still pressing on. But I want to tell you right now that I am freer than I have ever been as a believer. And there is a tremendous joy in throwing off the guilt of the heart and all the obligations of men and entering in to the knowledge of God and the delight of God and the grace of God. Now hear me. This is not to be an excuse for spiritual laziness. Because I believe that when we enter into that delight of the Lord, we find a deeper motivation and we will go farther and we will do more and we'll sacrifice more because we love God. You want to run this race? Run it for the Lord because you love Him. Love the Lord. You fail at everything else, don't fail at this. And you'll succeed. You'll succeed at everything else. I think I need a robe on for this commencement address. Run for the Lord. Number three. Run with purpose. Look at verse 26. He says, I do not run aimlessly. We could say purposelessly. I don't run aimlessly. What if you went to the track meet and there were no rules? And they said, when I fire the gun, run. You wouldn't know what direction to run. It wouldn't matter if you stayed on the track. Do you imagine a bunch of people running? Like a bunch of ants at a dropped potato chip. You know? Just everyone running everywhere. Just run! Now Paul says, no, I run purposely. With purpose. I do not run aimlessly. And then he mixes metaphors here with boxing. I do not box as one beating the air. I'm not a shadow boxer. I want to make contact. I want to run with purpose. I want to run with direction. I want to have a laser focus. Now the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, this laser focus. Paul says this, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. What is he saying there? Don't walk unwisely, dabbling in sin, being careless in your walk with God. Don't walk unwisely, foolishly. Walk wisely. Walk with God. Verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. And we might say here, don't be aimless. Don't be purposeless. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Run with purpose. Where are you going to find your purpose? From your friends? You're going to find it from here. Now let me give you some advice that took me about 20 years to discover. And it's so simple. Everyone looks for their purpose in life. You want to find your purpose in life? You want to find your spiritual gifts? You want to find your calling? You're the direction God has for you? What you're to do with your life? All you have to do is follow the general will of God for every believer, then you'll find the specific will of God for your life. Oh no, we want to bypass that. I was talking with someone the other day. Not everyone has a kind of a prayer gift to go beyond the usual. Not everyone are intercessors. But I'll tell you what, everyone's called to pray. Not all of us are hyper-generous givers. But we're all called to be generous and to give. We're not all, very few of us are evangelists, but we're all called to be witnesses. If you and I will give ourselves to the revealed will of God that is universal for every Christian, as we follow God, He will direct our steps. He will make that way plain. But don't bypass this point, because you'll never get to the specific will of God for your life until you first embrace the will of God for every believer. So run with purpose. Fourthly, run with discipline. Verse 27 says, He says, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So we're supposed to run with discipline. Now, just a quick comment on Paul's comment there, not wanting to be disqualified. He's basically saying, man, I got to live what I preach. I got to live what I preach. But here he says, I discipline my body. I run with discipline. Do you know the runner, the athlete, the one who's competing and running for the prize, also knows what it is to sacrifice? They know what it is to sacrifice. They'll give up. They'll eat a special way. They won't follow the diets of people. They'll go to a graduation reception and they have to stay on their diet. And if it ain't there, they don't eat there. They have to stay in the determination of running. If you want to run like Johnny Fuller, you got to run every day. And while others are out playing, you're working out. You're running the race. You're focused. You're disciplining. You're watching what you eat. You're watching your habits. They're the guy, everyone wants to stay up. Nope, I need to go home. And you go to bed. Why? I got to run tomorrow. See? The discipline. They sacrifice for the greater thing. And Christians sacrifice for the greater thing. You know what we sacrifice? We don't just sacrifice sin. We sacrifice the meaningless. It may not be sin. You could engage in it. But it's so trivial and maybe even distracting from the greater things. So run with discipline. In closing, I want to say this. We need a fighting and finishing faith. A fighting, finishing faith. At the last week's baccalaureate service, the chaplain from the 82nd Airborne, he was stationed in southern Iraq, was given responsibility of 5,000 men. But his message was, get out there and fight! And then in the commencement address, the speaker said, well, I'm not going to tell you to get out there and fight. I'm going to give you a different message. I'm thinking, huh? We wanted the chaplain in the commencement ceremony because he had a good word. But listen to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. See, that's a fighting and finishing faith. Paul the Apostle was writing this from prison. Tradition tells us that eventually he would be beheaded. But he knew that he had invested his life in that which is of utmost importance. The kingdom of God, the glory of God, and the faith in Christ. He says, I have fought the good fight. In other words, I've struggled and I've trained. I've disciplined my body. I've stayed on purpose. And I have finished the race. I did what God called me to do. Have you done? Are you doing what God's called you to do? Are you being faithful at it? You don't need the preacher to talk you into it when God puts it on the inside. You'll find motivation 24/7 when God puts it on. Have you fought the good fight? Have you finished the race? Are you working at finishing the faith, the race? Most of us aren't in prison waiting to be beheaded. We still have a race before us. He says, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not a temporal wreath of olive leaves, but a crown of righteousness with not Caesar in the stands giving out the medals. No, but which the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, will award me on that day, the day of the Lord, when He returns. And not only me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. To all. That's you and me. So it doesn't matter how strong you begin. Well, it matters. But how you train, and how you finish. I want to cross that finish line with everything in me. The apostles, the early church, and the martyrs have paid in blood to get this baton in your hand. You know, there is a rootless Christianity that I observe. It's almost like we're the only generation that's ever existed following Jesus Christ. And the older I get, the more I value that baton pass, apostles, the blood of the martyrs, the early church, the people across the century who've run for Jesus, and today they give it to us. And we've been given something precious. Yes, it's blood-stained. Run your race. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith.